And so we need to take it back so we can see what it means for us. And so we've looked at some things concerning that. It means, first of all, that one day in our lives and one specific day, we might not remember the hour, that might not remember the date necessarily, but at one specific time in our life, we can point back and say, on that day, I was born again. Something different happened to me. I became a new creation in Christ. If we can't say that, we're not born again. It's kind of that simple. And we're born again, the word tells us, and we'll get into that a little later about the verses that say this, we're born again because we have placed our faith in what Jesus did on the cross for us as payment for our sin. We believe that he is who he says he is. He's God the Son, born of a virgin, came down here for a specific thing, to give his life, a ransom, so he might redeem us, like the song we sang. And so we need to begin, and we need to always live like we're born again. We're different. We're not born just once. We're born twice. And so as we think about that, we looked at these things. And I think they're on the back of your bulletin. If you have a bulletin, there's a little outline back there, and there's some blank spots there you can fill in a little bit later as we go. We need to live like we're born again because of salvation by grace. It had nothing to do with us. As a matter of fact, there is nothing we can add to God's grace that produces for us favor with God. God gives us his favor because of what Jesus did. And that's the only reason that he gives us his favor, his grace. No other merit on our part. We want to live, and we need to live like we're born again because of salvation by grace. Because of the sufferings of Christ, what Christ went through. Did you know that it wasn't just the suffering on the cross, as gruesome and as cruel and as horrible as that was? The very fact that he came here in the way that he came, in the place that he came. Can you imagine being the one who created everything and then entering into that creation in the form of a helpless baby in a stable, no less? And so his suffering, we kind of lay it all on the cross, but that wasn't even all of it at all. The sufferings of Christ, we ought to live like we're born again. We ought to live like we're born again because of the holiness of God. God is holy, and he requires us to be holy. And so living like we're born again means that we're separated to him for his use. In other words, he can say anytime that he wants to, because he is Lord, I need you for this. And you don't have, and are you listening? I hate that. I wanted to say that just to wake you up a little bit, because Candy was worried about you being a little bit, I don't know, spacey or something. I don't know. So he is able to say, I need you for this. And we have no recourse but to do that. Now, we can say no. Have you ever said no to God? Anybody? Nobody's ever said no to God? Yeah. Okay. We can do that. It's not suggested. It's not a good thing to do. But when he beckons us, calls us to do something, or wants us to do something, be involved, he's Lord. We're set apart for his use. What you do in the morning? Oh, you leave here today and you go out and you get into your car and you try to start it and it won't start. There's nothing wrong with it. It just decided it wasn't going to start. What do you do?
Call you.
I'll bring my jumper cables over. It's kind of like that. When God sets us apart for his use, he wants to use us and use us for his glory. And so last week we touched on this one. We ought to live like we're born again because of redemption. That is, because redemption is something that we have no part in. Somebody else did that for us, paid the price for us, set us free from lives of slavery to sin, and set us free so that we can do what he asked. Until redemption, until we're born again, we can't do what he asked. We try in our religious activity, I guess, but we can't do what he asks until we're born again, until redemption is a real thing for us. And so last week we looked at the fact that our redemption was paid for by Christ. We talked about his suffering a little bit, but we see the picture here this morning in the bread and the cup. He paid for it. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, it says this: "Knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from your aimless conduct received by traditions from your father." And then verse 19 says, "But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." That's what we just pictured and celebrated. The payment that was made by him, paid for by Christ. You didn't have to shell out anything for it. You didn't have to give him anything for it. You just had to receive the gift that he gave to you. But now, when you do that, he sets you apart as belonging to him. And I'm not, you know, I don't think sometimes when we talk with somebody about salvation, I'm not sure that we go far enough, do we? We're happy to see people saved and delivered from hell, but we forget about the fact that when a person takes that payment that Jesus made on the cross for us, God takes us and sets us apart for himself. We belong to him then. And so we need to express that and to show that. He paid the price. He redeemed us with the blood of Christ. We belong to him. In our consumerism culture that we live in, we don't think about that. We just think about taking something that was given to us and then going on with our life and however we want to. And I can't tell you how many churches look like that and how many Christians look like that, because they just take it and then go on, when we should be living like we're born again, like we belong to him, like he paid for us, because he did. Well, another thing that we find in 1 Peter chapter 1 is that we ought to live like we're born again, because not only because of our redemption, because Christ paid for it, but he planned it before time began. And we've discussed this before, that how God planned our salvation and knew us before he ever created the universe, before time began. When did time begin, do you know? Yeah. God spoke it into existence when he said, "Let there be light." Was that the first day? Did I get that right? Y'all went through that course, Creation to Christ, so I'm assuming you got a little bit about creation out of that, didn't you? And what did it say after he created light? What did it say after that? "And the evening and the morning were the" what? First day. And so time began then. Well, God planned our redemption, and he knew every one of us that responded to him, that accepted what he did, before in the beginning. Isn't that? I don't know that our brains can go back that far, can it? Can you think back that far? Plan before time began? 1 Peter 1, verse 20. "He indeed," that is Jesus, "indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world." That means he was chosen, was picked out, was deciding to do it before the world was formed. Before, we read in the beginning, God in his infinite wisdom, his unending intelligence, in his omnipotence, decided before the foundation of the world. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. And verse 9, this is talking about Jesus. It says, "Who saved us and called us with a holy calling." There's that. You know what? Any place you go in God's word, you can't escape that holy calling or the holiness that we're supposed to be a part of and be set apart for God's use. "And called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us." Now look at the last part of that verse. "Which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began." So we're all part of something that in God's mind came into existence before time began. I ought to stop right there and just let us think on that. I'm not going to, but that's something worth stopping and thinking about. You know, how many people do we meet over the years that, and even Christians, that feel like they don't have any purpose in life, they're just kind of trudging along, don't see God's will, don't know what God's will is, God's plan, what God's going to do, what His purpose, what He wants to do, and we just kind of trudge along and don't think about the fact that even before God spoke anything into existence, He knew us and had a purpose and a plan for each one of us. And how many people struggle through life and never are sure that they came on to His plan and purpose. Now, some people are going to get so specific with that. For instance, trying to think of a good example besides somebody who has just met the love of their lives. Well, you all probably haven't done that. You all just going on. No. And they, God, is this the right person for me? Have you ever seen, and have you ever heard some people ask you that too? Well, how do you know? How do you know? I want to know. See, I want to know if I've met the love of my life yet. How do you know? Well, I'm going to give you just a little bit of a hint of how you know. Okay? Are you walking smack dab in the middle of God's purpose and will and way for your life? For what He has for you? If you are, those things like that just fall into place. You may have to have some discernment, you know. This guy might be or lady might be a serial killer. You need to find out first about those kind of things. But if we're walking with God day by day, if we're trusting in Him, if our life is devoted totally to Him, we belong to Him, we're living like we're born again, then all these other things just kind of fall into place over the years. You kind of look back and say, oh, gosh, if I'd only done that sooner. Living like we're born again because God has planned our lives for us, a purpose for us before time began. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4 say kind of the same thing. Look there. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. That is, God has given us everything that we need, and they're all there in heaven for us. Now, just because it's heavenly places, it says there, doesn't mean we can't use them here. God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be, oh, there's that word again, holy and without blame before Him in love. We ought to live like we're born again because God planned our redemption before time began. He knew us before time began. He chose us in Christ before time began. I reckon, in the language of Paul, that He's able to plan my day for me and figure out what I need to do, huh? He planned it before time began. He knew that I was going to get out of bed this morning. Now, look around you and see some empty spaces there. He knew they weren't going to get out of bed this morning. Right? Well, I'm not sure that all of them stayed in bed. That's probably not true. He knows every detail of our lives. So, we ought to live like we're born again because of our redemption, because it was paid for with infinite cost. And because God planned it before time began, He planned it before He ever made anybody. And then the fourth thing, it came at just the right time. You know, God in His infinite wisdom never does any, He's never late. He's never early, necessarily. He's always at just the right time. And sometimes we think too, oh God, where are you? What's going on? And we forget that sometimes, what's the word say? It doesn't say for the Lord to wait on us, does it? It says, wait on the Lord. And be of good courage. And he will what? Strengthen your heart. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. First part of verse 20 said that he planned before time began, but was manifest in these last times. The last times began when Jesus came the first time. They will end when he comes the second time. And so it was manifest in these last times. It was made known in these last times. Galatians 4:4. We sometimes use this verse at Christmas time. It says, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. And so at just the right time is how that verse literally says it. Just the right time, God sent forth his son. Now, that was God's time that he planned before time began. And it was just the perfect time for Jesus to come. A lot of reasons for that we don't have time to go into today. But for one thing, the whole common world in that day was of common language. And so it was able to disseminate the Word of God quickly. And the news about, the good news about his resurrection went out very quickly. And a lot of other things. But it was because God planned it at that specific time. And he's worked everything around that. The greatest point in history up till now was when Jesus came. And I say up to now because one of the greatest points again will be when he comes back, which we look for. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, and well, verse 3 as well. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets. That is, God spoke to those prophets who wrote down the Old Testament. But then it says in verse 2, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. And then verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory and the expressed image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of majesty on high. Jesus came at just the right time. We ought to live like we're born again because God paid for our redemption through Jesus' death. He paid for what we have because of his death. He planned it before time began, and at just the right time, he executed it. It had been really strange of God and strange in history if God planned all these things and then it didn't happen. Nothing that God plans never does not. I'm going to use a double negative here, honey. Don't do that. Okay. Everything God plans comes to pass. But no negatives then. Everything. And at just the right time, he sent Jesus. You know, we celebrate Christmas, the coming of Christ into the world. And when we do that, we ought to celebrate with our eyes toward Calvary and toward the resurrection. Because it's all, in God's mind, one event, the coming of Christ into the world. Well, he not only came at the right time, he came for you and for me. If we were sharing with people who didn't know Christ, who didn't profess to be Christians, we would say that he came at just the right time for you. Matter of fact, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, it says, but was manifest in these last times for you. Now, I want you to dwell on that for you for a moment, because if you know him, then you know that he did all that for you. And collectively, he did all that for us. And even more collectively, he did all that for the church. From the time back there in the first century right up until the time today, he did that for us, for you. Redemption, paid the price, planned it before time began and came at the right time for us. Verse 21 says, verse 20 and 21, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. You know, we can live like we're born again because our faith and our hope is in God. It's a decision that you make. You know, it's a decision that you make to be born again. And in a way, it's a decision that you make cooperating with God to be born again. Right? Same decision for living life like you're born again. It's just a cooperating with God and His Holy Spirit living in you to make you into the person He wants you to be, no matter what the situation, circumstance is where you find yourself even today. Well, how does that happen? We're going to close out chapter 1 today, aren't you? It took us 5 Sundays to get through chapter 1. Actually, almost 6 Sundays to get through chapter 1. But there's a wealth of knowledge and information and life there. We should live like we're born again, not only because of our redemption, paid for by Christ, planned before time, came at just the right time, came for you, for me, but it happened because, by the Word of God. By the Word of God. No salvation has ever happened, ever, 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 never will, except by the Word of God. Period. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22 and 23. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth. Now, that word purifying has an interesting meaning. It almost has the idea of being holy. Oh, we've already talked about that, haven't we, 3 or 4 times this morning. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth. And the word obeying there is the idea of having faith in. It has the same connotation. It means to be obedient to what God said. Do you know you can't be born again unless you've been obedient to what He said? It's impossible. And to be obedient means that you believe that Jesus is who He said He is and did what He said He did. And you believe that by faith through the grace of God. And so He says, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. One of the signs of somebody living like they're born again is that they love fervently with a pure heart. That doesn't mean some warm, fuzzy feeling. It means they love one another by their participation in the body of Christ and the way they minister to each other and show the love of God and show the love of Christ. Love one another fervently with a pure heart. And look at those words there. Having been born again. You know, chapter 1 started out with born again. In verse 3. Matter of fact, let me read verse 3 to you. Verse 3 and 4, actually. Or, I better get in 1 Peter. That's 2 Peter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again, has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And so the chapter starts with that, and it ends with being born again, living like you're born again. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. So when you heard the Word of God, that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's see. Let me think. In Sunday school last week, did you all read a creed that Paul wrote? You remember that? Remember where it was? Where was it?
Apostles' Creed.
Well, it wouldn't be called the Apostles' Creed necessarily, but it was Paul's creed. Okay. Do you remember where it was? 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verses 1 through 3, I delivered unto you that which I received, that on the night that Jesus... No, that's the wrong one. That's chapter 11. What does it say there? Let's just look at it real quick, just to remind you. By the way, the only reason I know what you studied last week is I have to teach Sunday school this morning. And you guys get to interrogate me, or maybe I get to interrogate you. I'm not sure how it works. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. It won't be on the screen. It says, "Moreover, brothers, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which you also received, in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain." In other words, said, I proclaimed the gospel to you, and you can be saved and will be saved unless you believed in vain. "For I deliver to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scripture." That was Paul's creed. That's what he lived by. That's what he proclaimed. And that's the gospel that Peter is writing about here, that you're born again by the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. When it enters into your heart, pierces your heart, and explodes into new life. That's what it means to be born again. Totally different creation than existed before that. Now, you may not learn of that when you become a Christian, when you're born again. But over the process of time, as you study God's Word, you see that that's exactly what happened. And at that point in time, you became something that didn't exist up until then. A new creature in Christ Jesus. Born again, it says, by incorruptible seed through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. And then verse 24 says this, "Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower fades," or falls away, as the New King James says here, "but the word of the Lord endures forever." Now, this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. And so, Peter's point in chapter 1 is we should live like we're born again, because that's what happened to us. Whether we knew it or not at the time, that's what happened to us. I think that probably preachers and teachers' faults exist here in not explaining that more to people and seeing that growth take place in a person's life after they're born again, after they've received the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Well, it was planned before time, and he planned it especially for you personally. I'm amazed sometimes why talking to people. Over the years, I've talked to a lot of people. And I remember talking to a couple one time who wanted me to marry them. And during the conversation, at some point when I met with them, did you know the state requires you to have counseling before you get married now? It requires, if you don't get the counseling, you have to pay $50 for the marriage license. If you get the counseling, the marriage license is $15, I think. Well, a lot of people just skip that, and pay the $50. But anyway, I was talking to a couple one time, and I was talking to them about their salvation and being Christians, because they profess to be Christians. And when I talked to them about being born again and how that affects you, and it just went like this, right over their head. They had no idea what I was talking about. I wonder how many people who profess to be Christians, who attend churches, who are members of churches, have no idea about being born again and the results of that. We don't want to be there. We want to be living, being born again, and living out of that. God help us, we will, right? Amen.